This is the Bears Barroom Radio Network. The following program is recorded live and intended for all audiences.
Radio is scripted now. We just come up with it. We don't use computers. We don't rehearse. We're going to talk about this next. We're going to talk about them. We're going to talk about the Bulls. And then we're going to have Brad Biggs on. And then we're going to have all this. No. No. If you don't know what you're going to talk about in the top of your head before a show, you shouldn't be in the business. I don't know what you got. I feel like Vince Vaughn in a couple's retreat. The sharks are circling. Old school, baby.
You're listening to the Mike North Advantage, and it begins right now.
That's right. The Mike North Advantage starts right now. I am Aldo Gandia, Mike's wingman. And boy, oh boy, it is Wednesday hump day. The Mike North Advantage is going to bring you some more picks from the red hot Mike North. Oh my gosh, he is 7-0 since the NBA season started. How about that? You want to win money? You got to listen to Mike North. And how about those Chicago Bulls? The last time we did a show, they were 4-4. Today, they are 4-7. But those three losses were really tough and close games. They lost by 4 to the Kings, they lost by 2 to the Lakers, and they lost by 3 to the Clippers. All three on the road. Let's see if they can bounce back at Oklahoma later this week. And of course, we've got tons of Chicago Bears stuff to talk about. In fact, as we're recording this show, the Bears are scheduled to have their press conference, and so we'll keep you up to date with the latest. Mike has a special guest for the second half hour of the show. Let's welcome Mike in now. Mike North, how are you, my friend?
The best in the business. What an intro. Getting things set up. Actually letting me know that the Bulls do exist. telling me what the record is, because quite frankly, I was panicking looking for my computer as you were doing the intro, but you gave everything out. I appreciate that, Aldo. But everything else is great. Luke Pergande will be our guest coming down the line to show folks, getting more and more views, getting more and more hits, whatever you want to do next week. Aldo and I are going to do a special one-hour Bear I guess year-end. I hate those year-end reviews. An hour of talking, debating maybe, or what have you, on the Chicago Bears. So that's going to be fun. Luke Pergande, like I said, will be joining us from Prop Swap. Everything's going to be going great today. We're having fun. I have an NBA pick, and let me tell everybody what's happened.
Yeah.
I went 4-0 on the odds couple. Woo! On AM1000 Friday. Okay?
Nice.
I'm 11-1. 7-0 and 4-0. But guess where my one loss is? Yes, the granddaddy of them all, Bears Barrow, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, I lose by a half a point. You know, I'm De Niro in Cape Fear, and the bookies are beating the crap out of me, and the next thing you know, they're fearing for their lives.
That's hilarious.
You're beating the crap out of me with everything, and the next thing you know, I'm not saying counselor. Counselor, no. I'm going bookmaker. Bookmaker, could that be you? Is that you, bookmaker? Are you there, bookmaker?
Come on, come on.
I had a bookmaker say to me, why are you doing this to me? Things were going well, and then you found my number. That's the way it is. And today, the only way you can get this pick, I'm not a tout service. I bet my picks, folks. Mm-hmm. That's why I got 5 TVs, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can only get the NBA pick. I don't want anybody begging on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to Bears Barroom, and you got to follow Bears Barroom. And if you don't, you're a bunch of leeches, period.
Exactly.
I'm your stimulus package. I'm your stimulus bill. You don't need Congress. You need the Mike North Advantage. You need me on that wall. You want me on that wall. Enough. I'm the best in the business. I'm tired of it. You know, hey, how about this? You read all the media. Hey, how about this radio show? How about this podcast? How about that? No, how about somebody that actually is good, like us, and actually has a hand handicapper that wins almost every game. And in the NBA, folks, 7-0. 7-0. Try going 7-0 in the NBA. I've done it in the NFL more than once. The NBA ain't easy, folks, especially with people sitting out because they got an owie.
Right. That's right.
All right, I got to rest.
Like, I got a fever of 99. Oh, you got to sit out, buddy.
Oh, my God. Got a dizzy spell. Checking it, bro. Checking where everything's at. Yeah, I'm in order.
That's crazy.
All right, buddy. Now, how'd you like that?
That was
enough.
That open mic was outstanding. I mean, you ad-libbed all those movie openings. You know, counselor, counselor. By the way, that's one of my favorite De Niro performances on Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then with...
But Mitchum, before we get to the Bears...
I was just going to mention Mitchum. Yes, go ahead.
Mitchum does a better job, and I'll tell you what.
Oh, yes. The original, yes.
Because he doesn't need the tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't need the scary-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the guy you're sitting with at the bar.
Yeah, yes.
Having a beer.
Exactly. A guy that you don't want to mess with at the bar. That's
you know
one
what?
Thing.
He's every kid's. This is the truth, folks.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw some of my dad. He's in this guy. He's every kid's 1950s dad with a dark side.
That's right.
That's it. He's Ward Cleaver. He's Ward Cleaver, who at night stalks people. Or a more elite Ward Cleaver.
Yes, uh-huh. I agree. I agree. That's perfectly put. And yeah, and
yeah.
Then he's in the sequel too with De Niro. He plays a cop, and there's that scene
excuse me. Yeah,
exactly. I don't know whether to look at him or to read him because he's commenting on his tattoos.
Well, you know, that's how I feel about the Bears.
Well,
I don't know whether to look at them. I don't know how to read them. I don't know what to do. Because I'll tell you right now, the right thing to do would have been to fire Nagy. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I've been calling for it. And I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I gave Dick Juron a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he won a coach of the year, but I gave him a chance.
Right.
I didn't like Wani, but I gave him a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're not honorable and you're leading men... There's going to be doubt from the troops.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Allen Robinson already knows, and so do the players, what happened to Mitch this year. He already knows it.
Yeah.
They all know it.
Yeah.
They all love Mitch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem for next year.
It is.
I don't know what's going to happen with Mitch, but if they don't sign Mitch, some guy goes, well, he'll probably go to New England. Is that what we want? No.
No.
And there's no red. Just give me who. I just want to know because I heard everybody from Cam Newton to Dalton to, you know, I mean, all these quarterbacks that didn't make it.
Right.
Were set there as far as that's concerned. He's Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's give the kid a year and leave him alone.
Right. Yeah, and just again, we are recording this 20 minutes before the scheduled press conference with the Chicago Bears. So when Mike is interviewing our guest from Prop Swap, I will kind of monitor the press conference.
Yeah.
And then at the other end of the show, at the tail end of the show, I'll share with Mike what was discussed at the press conference.
You know what? I almost called Scott Hagel,
mm-hmm.
which would I don't even know if the call would go through.
Mm-hmm.
He's the PR guy over there.
Right, right, right.
Okay.
Right.
Powerful man, powerful arm. Scott Hagel. Anyway, I almost called him for credentials.
But then
I said, oh, man, that would mean I have to leave the house. Forget about it.
Well, everything's on Zoom.
Stupid Zoom with the vanilla media. The Zoom with the... I got to look at people that haven't asked a tough question, okay, in their lives. So I'd rather just stay with you and complain.
Next softball question.
Anybody that wants to talk to me and ask me if I've ever asked the Bear players or ownership tough questions, you don't know my history.
Oh, that's for sure.
Let's move on.
That is for sure. So
from Mark Carrier to Michael McCaskey to Trace Armstrong, I've had them all.
That's right. So what do you think about the news reported by a number of sources, including Dan Wiederer of the Chicago Tribune, that Chuck Pagano has elected to retire? Yeah, right.
I've elected to be happy. I want Lovie Smith. I suggested it this morning. Bring Lovie back to do the defense. I'm the first guy on this planet
mm-hmm.
that brought his name up, unless I missed something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's perfect. He could be an assistant. head coach. He's a class act. He knows what it's like. He could look at Nagy, and Nagy, I don't think, should feel threatened because he's got a year on the job. And if Nagy wins something with the help of Lovey, that only boosts Nagy's stock.
Mm-hmm.
And makes Nagy look good along with Lovey. So there's a win-win here because I don't know, Aldo, am I wrong here, folks? If Nagy gets fired tomorrow, I guess I shouldn't say who would hire him, because Adam Gase might get hired again, which to me is really something, since he's the guy that ruined Tannehill, supposedly, mm-hmm. and then he left him, and Tannehill left him, and all of a sudden he became a good quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So I guess anybody can be a coach again if you network, mm-hmm. or whatever that crap saying is that everybody uses nowadays, because if Adam Gase gets another chance, why wouldn't you give Lovey one? And I know he had a short stay at Tampa Bay, but let Lovey get back in the game a little bit with somebody you're familiar with and who you've won with and who was fired when he was 10-6.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You like that idea?
I like that idea. Although, you know, I think that I'm a little concerned that the game may have passed Lovey up, just like it did with Chuck Pagano. And so I wouldn't mind getting a new innovative thinking here. But who that is a promising defensive coordinator, who's going to come here knowing that Pace has just 1 year left on his contract and Nagy has two? And they're going to think, well, those guys probably will get fired if we don't have a winning season next season. So I got a feeling they're going to probably promote from within or get one of these old guys, like a 75-year-old Wade Phillips, somebody like that, who's only got a couple more years to live. So I'm sorry, Wade.
Well, wait a minute. Now, you don't know that. I mean, after all, he is 25 or 30 years younger than the owner. So, I mean, just saying, all I'm saying is I don't want that, because here's what I want. I know what you're saying. It's really the tale of two deals. If you're a young defensive coordinator, okay,
yeah,
you stick around, and if you win something,
right,
okay, even if you're on the staff for 1 year, let's say you win,
mm-hmm.
like George Allen with the 63 Bears,
mm-hmm.
guess what? Halas won, but everybody knew who engineered that whole deal.
Very
with
true.
With the defensive side of that ball, and he became a head coach.
A good
so
one.
I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to give me 1 year
mm-hmm.
to be a coach somewhere in the NFL as a coordinator,
mm-hmm.
you think I'm up and coming. Now, will Nagy trust a new guy? I don't think so. Why not bring Lovey in? Because you know why he wouldn't want Lovey in? Because Lovey would be their apparent. It wouldn't be the first time a football coach has coached the same team twice, even with that organization.
Oh,
the
yeah.
man that coached was George Halas.
Mm-hmm.
He left and came back.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, yeah, you know, it's not the, you know, it's not anything out of the blue where somebody returns back to their old stomping grounds. I just,
no.
you know, Lovey didn't have success at college football. He didn't have success at Tampa Bay. I don't know.
You're
just
going to judge him on Illinois.
Nobody wants
if we're
to
judging
Illinois.
People on Illinois, there should be people that are squeegeeing windshields, okay, that are sitting in high spots still, including the Illinois Athletic Board. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
Come on. The last time Illinois was good at most things on a consistent basis was when Butkus had a crew cut and Hefner was going, I got an idea. You know
right.
what I mean?
That's
and they
right.
both went to Illinois.
That's right, yeah. Why they can't recruit out of Chicago? I don't know what is going on over there at Illinois.
Look, I went there on a road trip when the Bears played in Champaign.
Oh, cool.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I did it from a place called Camps, me and Doug Buffone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I thought it was on a Wild West trip. It was so far. The only thing I was missing was a stagecoach. You know, I'm a city boy, but I like it out here now
uh-huh.
where I'm at. But, my God, that's a long haul.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I know. I've taken
it. But they're winning this year. Underwood's doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Lovey, disappointment, but I knew he was because he's a pro coach.
Yeah.
He's not a college coach.
Well, that is true.
I won't blame him for Illinois. There's been more before him.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll pass on the whole Lovey Smith thing. You know, the guy that, you know, they might want to consider – promoting from within, and the guy that coaches the defensive lineman, Jay Rogers, is a candidate in my mind. They've let other assistant coaches go who have gone on to be successful, like the guy who's the defensive corner for the Rams. He got Leonard Floyd to get 10 sacks while Robert Quinn's got two with the Bears. Brandon Staley, he was a defensive coach, assistant coach with the Bears. What's he doing over there?
I'm wide open. I think the problem's the head coach. Wide open about all these other guys.
I'm with you, bro.
I'm fine. I got nothing bad to say about any of these guys. They might turn everything around for a certain segment of the football team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Juan Castillo, I was all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the first half of the season on the offensive line,
mm-hmm.
and then things got better.
Yeah.
I was never a fan of Pagano.
Oh,
never. And I thought he was Vince Tobin light.
Right.
And for people that remember Vince Tobin, he came in after Buddy Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same type of thing happened after this guy came in after Fazio. I don't care where he's been.
Yeah.
I don't care if he was Indy's coach.
Right.
I don't.
Yeah, I agree with you. He inherited a great defense, and he tried to apply his own stuff to it, and it just didn't work. I still, to this day, don't understand why I'm seeing guys who normally rush the passer and have been paid to rush the passer are 10 yards downfield guarding a running back or a tight end. It's like, what is going on here? What kind of football is this? I don't get it.
And you know what? Nobody's going to get rid of the GM
mm-hmm.
because I think what you're looking at is still, I think Mitch Trubisky's a good quarterback. I'm not calling him a bust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's the guy they should have taken from the beginning. But then once I was a guy, I wanted Watson. But, you know, Mitch beat Watson this year. I know Watson was on a bad team, but welcome to Mitch Trubisky's years,
mm-hmm.
not being on good teams. So, you know, I think he's causing problems now after making $39 million. So we got our guy. We'll see what happens if they go in another direction. If they try to find another quarterback, which nobody's been able to tell me who. Do you have any ideas this year, my friend? If we get rid of Mitch, who's going to get us to the promised land? Because we at least got there now. If everybody leaves him alone next year, I think we can. But I want ideas from people, and nobody. Oh, Jameis Winston. You want Turnover City?
Exactly. He led the NFL.
He couldn't even beat out a wide receiver at New Orleans.
That's right. He led the NFL
in
interceptions.
Again, like I heard with Cam Newton, Dalton, Bridgewater, who once Bridgewater mm-hmm. lost McCaffrey,
mm-hmm.
it was sayonara. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Mitch, under tough circumstances, number one, from a rat head coach, just a rat, mm-hmm. who wanted to ruin his career, who was calling the plays the first two games. Imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Calling the plays for a guy you want out.
Mm-hmm.
How secure would you be? Yet Mitch won both those games. And you know what I hear? This is my favorite one of the whole week
mm-hmm.
from all the dumbasses out there. You know who I'm talking to. All right? Oh, they're the 27th ranked this. 20. You think the first game of the season, anybody knew that they were going to be that by the end of the season?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think helped put them there?
Yeah.
Mitch threw three touchdowns against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So who started Detroit's season going the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
We did.
Right.
And what do we do? Give the kid crap?
Yeah.
Because of who they played? I heard something interesting today. This is fantastic. Okay?
Okay.
Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard on Vissen. Good show.
Okay.
Said, this year, Brady against under 500 teams, because Mitch is the only guy
mm-hmm.
that plays against under 500 teams that gets questioned about it, right?
Yeah, right.
Brady's got 30 touchdowns and 3 interceptions against under 500 teams. You know what he's got against over 500 teams?
Oh, gosh, I can't wait to hear this.
9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions.
Wow.
But I got to hear about Mitch
mm-hmm.
playing easy teams. I mean, Tampa Bay is a pretty good favorite this year week, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'm going to do there.
Mm-hmm.
But their success has been based on, guess what? You won't believe this. Under 500 teams, Aldo.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's a great, great point.
I can't believe it. Oh, the Bears, shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
Shame on them for beating under 500 teams. You know what Tampa Bay's record is against over 500 teams or 500?
No, I don't. What is it?
1-4.
1-4? Holy cow. And they lost against the Bears, too. Remember that?
That's one of the teams.
Okay, that's right, because they were over 500 when they faced.
That's right.
That's right.
They were, you know, but the Bears, a 500 ball club now.
Yeah, that's true, of course. Well, without
so my point is, the media has helped perpetuate the Vols crap and this nonsense that everybody plays copycat except me and a few others that know that you make it to the playoffs by beating the bad teams and beating, I guess, only one good team.
Yeah. Well, and I got to ask you this, and we could talk about it after the interview as well, but Ted Phillips is scheduled to be at this press conference today, and so maybe he's going to announce his retirement, or maybe or maybe he's going to remain on the job. This is somebody posted this on Twitter. He's been team president for 21 seasons. He's had 24 different starting quarterbacks. He's had 15 seasons out of those 21. At or below 500 seasons, 10 of those 21 seasons, a losing record, only 3 playoff wins in 21 seasons, and 1 Super Bowl appearance, which they lost. How does a guy keep his job 21 seasons with a record like that?
You know, Robert, you know who did the toughest interview with him I ever heard? Me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the first, I was sent to the Bear Convention.
Mm-hmm.
First year. Okay,
mm-hmm.
that they did it. So we're on the big kahuna at the time.
Right, right.
Okay?
Right.
All of a sudden, Ted Phillips comes walking up. I grilled him for 15 minutes. He looked like Bill Russell at the free throw line in the finals. Sweat was dripping. Looked like he'd been through like a marathon, ran a marathon, made it 2 miles, and just said, let's go have a beer. You know what I mean? Had the sweat going, had the mop here, you know? Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, it wasn't comfortable. And if anybody ever wants to ask him, who interviews him now? And if they do, they kiss his rear end.
Yeah.
Who interviews him?
Nobody.
Ask him one time. Anybody out there runs into him. Mike Norv, I'll stake my reputation on this. Mike Norv says the toughest interview you ever had was with him. You started sweating like there was 23 seconds in the Bulls-Cleveland game with the Craig Elo shot. That's it.
Well,
but he should be. I saw the same thing on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And, look, I wish nothing but the best for people, but come on.
Sure.
If you're the guy that's hanging on the mountain clip, if you're Cary Grant while Martin Landau's stepping on your fingers in North by Northwest at the Mount Rushmore, somehow you get saved. That seems to be Ted Phillips.
Yeah. Well, and I have a theory as to why the George McCaskey and the McCaskey family are reluctant to fire Ted Phillips, because he probably knows where all the money bags are buried. And so you bring somebody in from the outside, and then you got to share this information. Well, we got a couple million stashed over here. We got a 1.7.
He got the stadium deal. The Jetsons beat the Flintstones because the Daly administration and the McCaskey family, because of Michael, God rest his soul.
Yeah.
Respect the man for that.
Mm-hmm.
But because of Michael and the McCaskey family ruining this relationship with the city of Chicago, the bad turf, the whole ball of wax, the park district. They never wanted to build their own stadium because they're too cheap, period. They could have done it and made all the money for themselves. They'd rather do a split like it's a partnership, and they brought the city in. They're attached to Soldier Field for some reason. I mean, the stadium is nice inside, but it's a catastrophe. It is. It's a catastrophe. Be honest. When I drive by that thing, I'm not proud. I look at that and I go, why did they do this?
Yeah.
They could have built a stadium somewhere else. It's the worst located stadium I can think of. I've been to a few, more than a few. There's some of them are out of the way, but they shouldn't be out of the way in the city where you got to walk 10 miles to get a cab, The only thing I was missing when I went to the one game there was the donkey from Sierra Madre. Like I was walking through the desert with no hope. Where is that damn cab?
We
have to walk to Michigan Avenue.
We don't need no stinking badges. Great movie.
Yeah, they do. You need a medallion. We don't need no stinking medallion.
Hey, before we call our guest here, there's a question on Twitter from Patrick Sheldon. I'm going to let you respond to his question, and I'll pick the response for on your behalf. He says, Bears fans, how do you feel about the team at this very moment? Are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? Or are you apathetic? You just don't give a crap.
I care, and if they get rid of Mitch, they're done. He'll go somewhere else and make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're going through hell in Washington with Haskins. They staked everything on him. Didn't work out, okay? Mm-hmm. Alex Smith, not good. I mean, when Heineken is your savior over there, you know, after all the trouble he's had trying to latch on with somebody, that's a problem. He's, New England's looking at Mitch. A lot of teams are. If they bring Mitch back, they got a shot. If they don't, they're 4-12 next year. 4-12, and they'll be lucky to win 4. You got too many veterans on this team under contract to get rid of Mitch. You do. And they're already mad about what happened. So I think it's up to – I think maybe Nagy told the ownership, and the ownership basically said, hey, why did you really, after 2-0, really pull them mid-game?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's other things like – Allen Robinson saying yesterday, I don't know who called the plays the last couple games.
Yeah, right.
That's troubling.
Isn't that weird? Isn't that really, really, really weird?
That is troubling, brother.
Yes.
You and I have been around a long time. We always knew who called the plays. I don't care if it was the Abe Gibron years, the Dooley years. We always knew who was calling the plays. To not know and you're the main receiver, you got to want to get out of here if you're him. That's
all. I'm with you, man. Here's another theory that I have because I was doing a show yesterday and one of the fans said, you know what is kind of weird? After that loss to the Saints, Matt Nagy came out and he sounded happy. And I started thinking to myself, well, maybe he did take the play calling, and maybe he deliberately called a very conservative game plan, not allowing Mitch to try to win the game. I mean, rarely was there a pass thrown.
How many times did Mitch roll out?
Exactly. It was all totally back to the old way of doing things, Nagy style.
He went back to games 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, he went back to games 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and Mitch overcame with 5 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, yet he's a bum.
Yeah. What do you
think? He's a bum in 2 wins with 5. Who? The media should be ashamed of themselves in this town.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody that will step up and ask the right question. They're afraid of their jobs. And, you know, no wonder the newspaper's got 25 pages in them now. You know, I hear people being called legends. That are newspaper writers that I've been following, but since the beginning of time, they get this award of the year, that award of the year. When they started, there used to be 130 pages. Now there's 52.
I know.
How are you legends if your business has lost half its audience?
That's right. And they only got one ad, and it's in the front page. It's like,
yeah, and you know calls them legends? The other guys that think they're going to be legends. They call each other legends. I don't hear many people calling these guys legends. And I read the papers because they got tired of reading them and being wrong.
That is so true. That is so damn true. All right, let's see if we can get our man Luke on the telephone.
Oh, one of the best. Now, let me tell you something. Once he's on, I'll introduce some folks.
Absolutely.
This guy is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He came up with a concept. I'm going to have him explain to everybody exactly what he did. And then I'm going to tell you exactly how to do it, how to get a hold of him, how to get it done.
This is Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, Luke, how are you, buddy? It's Mike and Aldo. It's good to talk to you here on Bears Barroom. How are you, my friend?
What's up, guys? How are you?
All right.
Good. Good. Listen, I want to, first of all, introduce you to the audience here, to the followers of the Barroom and stuff. Luke is a dream come true for gamblers everywhere. I'll have them explain the concept to you because there's still people in a growing business that's doing great business leaps and bounds called PropSwap that still needs to grow, still needs to bring new people, still needs to get people to understand what it's all about. And he's been a great sponsor on AM1000, a great sponsor on AM1000 and the Odds Couple. We're pleased to have on, and he's a Chicago guy along with his partner Ian, Luke Pergande. How are you? How you doing, Luke? Was that a good enough intro?
That was excellent. Well done. I'm doing great. We got a week of a national championship, a wild card playoff, and then we get the divisional round coming up. So it's the sports fan's dream this week.
Okay, now we're going to get to the first, the skeleton of this. I brought up during the intro, which I didn't write, it comes from the heart. I brought it up, and I said, during the intro, he thought up this concept, you guys thought up this concept. We are promoting the heck out of it as much as we can because you're the man that's the last hope. And it's about futures betting more than anything, although there's weekly bets and stuff like that. But you're the guy if you're stuck with a ticket. Like, I went back in time. If you had the 1969 Cubs, okay, and you were doubting that they were going to win the whole thing, but you had a ticket that said they wouldn't, like 4-1 at the time, you could have sold that maybe $10 ticket for maybe $30 to, if there was prop swap back in the day. Is that sort of where, am I on the right track here?
Yes. Yep, that's correct. Yeah, we are filling the gap between what you paid for the ticket and what it collects. And before PropSwap came along, there wasn't a way to fill that gap. Like, it either collected zero if it lost, or it collects the entire worth of the ticket. There was no in-between. But with PropSwap, now you can fill those gaps in at any point throughout the season and take some profit.
In other words, in 87, Washington's getting ready to play the Bears. Bear weather. Washington coming to Chicago. Bears are still feared. You got a Washington Redskin ticket at maybe 9-1. You bought it for $30. You could sell it on PropSwap for more to somebody. You triple your money or what have you, and whatever happens, happens. That's how this baby, it would have worked back then, but we had no hope back then. And that's what, did it actually happen to you where you were holding a futures ticket and you said, you know what? I should start a company that gives people hope where they can take their ticket and not make it a losing ticket, even if it is a loser at the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It was 2013. I was visiting Las Vegas. I was living in San Francisco at the time and made a bet on the New Orleans Saints to win the Super Bowl. It was Labor Day, so before the season had begun. Their odds were 50-1 at the time. So I bet $100 down, went back to California, and the New Orleans Saints started out the season 7-1. So excellent start. And I called my now business partner. I said, hey, man, like, I have this 50-1 ticket. I'm looking at the odds currently. The Saints are now 15-1. And I said, someone would buy this 50-1 ticket from me. It's increased in value. It's 8 games into the season. The Saints have only lost 1 game.
Sure.
Someone would buy this. And he's like, yeah, you're right. And I said, at the end of the season, if I mail him the ticket from California, can he redeem this Saints Super Bowl ticket if they win? He's like, yeah, I do that all the time. I'm like, well, then these things are transferable, right? You're not married to these tickets. Can be transferred.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could be transferred, then why isn't there a website to move these things around? Like, there's secondary markets like StubHub, where you can sell your, you know, Cubs season tickets. Why isn't there a website for these tickets?
Genius.
And he's like, I don't know. So 2013, we started emailing a bunch of attorneys in Las Vegas. I forget that Nevada was the only place you could bet on sports legally. Like, we're 2.5 years into this thing, and I've met some kids that are like, oh, I thought gambling was legal in New York for years. Like, no. Nevada was the only place you could do it legally.
Yeah, apparently they never made a phone call from an alley. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
So you ended up doing it.
Yep. And starting the business. But here's the thing. Were you projecting down the line? Because you said the first 2.5 years, it wasn't legal in other states or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So were you projecting that it would be down the line? Was that your hope? Because
no.
Since I was like, since the 80s, I heard gambling was coming to whatever city, whether it be Des Plaines, Rosemont, what have you. And it finally just came around the corner. So you didn't think this was going to happen?
No. And anyone that says back in 2013, they knew that the Supreme Court in 2018 would legalize sports betting, like, that's crap. No, nobody knew. Like you just said, people have been saying since 1992 that
right.
gambling was coming to Jersey or coming to Illinois. Like that's,
right.
that's been rumored since the early 90s. So
yeah.
we got lucky, you know, and sometimes you got to get lucky in life. And we did. So we had a giant head start once sports betting was effectively legalized around the country. You know, as it stands today, it's been legalized in 20 different U.S. states. That number was one in early 2018. And we think, you know, with COVID, that number of legalized states will now be in the 40s when all is said and done. Texas just came out, a state that is notorious for being very conservative, has started discussing it. It's just an excellent budget deficit solution. I think marijuana and sports betting are both only going to grow, literally with marijuana. Only going to grow because of this COVID deficit. You know, it's going to be everywhere.
Sure. Yeah, and you know what? I mean, gambling as a whole, even our show, I think they're. We're starting to try to reach. We're starting to reach the masses. It's just amazing to me that you know people follow my picks more than they follow their own revenue. They could be down $300,000 in the stock market, but they're mad at me because they bet $100 on a game. You know what I'm saying? And it's the truth. To many people, I mean, I can't watch a game for the most part unless there's money on it. And if you, that's why I've made money off the deal. You're making money off the deal. But here's what I wanted to ask you: is there ever going to be now somebody else that comes out, just like FanDuel and DraftKings? Are you guys right now are the bosses, the head bosses? You always will be, because I always say if you were the first to do something, you're always going to be the best. But there's going to be somebody down the line, don't you think, that might try this?
Yeah.
Not saying they'll succeed.
Yeah, absolutely there will be. You know, and it's our job to take care of the customers that are using our service.
Right.
You know, they're super valuable to us. It's to make sure they're happy. Yeah, at the end of the day, our job is to get the best price possible for your ticket, right? That's how StubHub works. That's how SeatGeek works. Like, if you're not getting the best price for your ticket, then you're not going to use their website. So it's our job to promote the heck out of your ticket and, you know, find you the highest price. So if we continue to do that, and provide a service where we're getting, you know, liquidity, we're giving sellers of tickets the best price, and we'll be just fine.
With our buddy Luke Burgundy here on the Mike North Advantage. Luke, of course, from PropSwap, just a tremendous, innovative guy. It takes guts to do what he did, folks. It takes, I don't care what you do in your life, if you're revolutionizing a business, you did something special, and that's what he's done with this business. I go back to the days when I bet in the late 60s, early 70s in Las Vegas, when you had to go into another building. There was not even a sports book inside the casinos. That's how much this baby has grown. Now, I did something that I thought would be fun. Luke does a great segment, folks, on AM 1000 every Friday on the Odds Couple, and then an encore on Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, two for the price of one, ladies and gentlemen. And I've been on fire there 4-0 last week. Luke just comes up with great ideas about what to do with your futuristic picks or your weekly picks. We have Hawthorne Jim, Jimmy Miller, just a great group, a great ensemble, as I like to call it. So I thought today, since we don't spend as much time together, Luke, talking about stuff like this, I bring up what would have been the market back in the day. I brought up the 69 Cups. Forget about them. Have you imagined what it would have been if you guys, Union, had been around with Villanova, Georgetown? Villanova was probably a ticket that went for 100 to 1 at the time. and somebody probably bought a ticket for $20, and they made it through the first couple rounds, and they probably sold it, right? Because they, it was a lot like Clemson with Trevor Lawrence. Nobody thought Villanova was going to beat Georgetown. Am I right?
Yeah. You're talking about the 86?
Right. With Raleigh Massimino.
Yeah. Yep.
And then.
Yeah, you're right.
Give me something else here, like in the late. Something that you've seen. Well, I mean, let's talk about what happened to the guy that had Clemson. That has been famous. The original owner, if I'm not mistaken, sold a ticket that had Clemson on it. He had won the other ones, right?
Yes. Yeah. So he had the Dodgers to win the World Series, the Lakers to win the NBA Finals, and then he needed Clemson to win the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. He originally bet $300, and he sold it for $9,000 on PropSwap. And it would have paid $31,000. So he cashes in. He gets $9,000 for a losing ticket. Clemson obviously didn't even make it out of the semis. The buyer, people always, you know, will say, wow, like, you know, it's so unfortunate for the buyer. First of all, buyers lose large bets all day long. Like, if you look at, you know, these bets that are going on, you know, BetMGM or DraftKings, I mean, people are wagering $500,000 on the money line, you know, of a given game. I saw a guy lost $500,000 by the Steelers losing. He bet $500,000 on the Steelers money line, and obviously they got worse.
But they'll call a guy that bets five games for $20 a piece a degenerate.
Seriously. Yeah, that's right.
But seriously, you're putting $500,000 on Roethlisberger and Juju Schuster. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right. So my point here is that the guy that paid $9,000 on PropSwap, if he would have walked into a casino and made that same wager on Clemson to win the CFP, he would have had to put up around $11,000. So by using PropSwap, he saved himself $2,000 on that wager, if you agree that he was going to make that bet anyway, right? Because he bought it on PropSwap, he bought it from another person, another gambler. So that gambler gave him better odds than you'd find in any casino in the world. So we saved the buyer a few grand, and obviously seller cashes in on a monster ticket, and his ticket ended up losing.
Yeah, well, yeah, and the $9,000 guy ends up winning, then he makes a ton of money, and you're right. If you're betting that kind of money, you're not 95 or 97 or 98% of the population, as far as I'm concerned now. Let's look at Tampa Bay. They seem to be the darling of the jet setters right now. It seems to be, and when I call jet setters, maybe the public. I might be talking about the media. You do have Tom Brady. I think if you investigate their year, they had a Mitch Trubisky type year. They beat the bad teams. But I got to believe, and they lost under 500 to good teams. So that's what the great Tom Brady. I don't consider them a safe bet like I would Kansas City or even, and I'll be honest, Clemson at the time. How do you view them, and how many people are hanging on to Tampa Bay tickets compared to the ones that have sold them?
Yeah, the Bucs are an interesting one. So you got the number one rush defense in the NFL by yards. So stingiest rush defense is Tampa. You're right that they beat a, you know, Taylor Heineke-led Washington football team. Let's not get too excited about that, although that kid did play out of his mind. He played an excellent football game. I will give him that. But, you know, you're right. They did not beat many good teams this year.
But they did know that, Luke.
Yeah.
They see Tom Brady in Tampa, right? I know the Packers do. Yeah. The Packers, Rodgers had under 500 wins too. They all do. But I just think I'm not a Rodgers guy because I think that he gets a lot of praise, a lot like Peyton Manning, and then at the end of the day, you're holding your gonads in your hands. But this seems to be their year in a way, doesn't it? Compared to, I think the Tampa Bay thing, to do it in 1 year would be tough. I mean, it sort of reminds me of when Jordan came back from the retirement a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good analogy. You know, the question is Tom Brady going to have enough rapport with his receivers when a play breaks down? Like, you know, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, like their chemistry when a play breaks down is incredible. Like they're it's nonverbal communication, and those two just know exactly where each other's going to run. So like in the playoffs, like that's very important because adversity happens and plays break down, and you know, Devontae Adams is about to have Jalen Ramsey on him all game. So that's probably the best cornerback in the NFL. So I think that game will be closer than people think. I do think Green Bay wins, but Jalen Ramsey is a monster. He's an excellent defensive back. So I think that game will be close. But, you know, discussing the Tampa Bay's odds, I hear you, you know, so New Orleans is about a 2.5-point favorite. That is obviously the Sunday night game. So it's going to be close. I'm concerned about Drew Brees' arm strength since coming back from that rib injury. I think that he just hasn't looked as spry and as, you know, if he doesn't throw the ball well, I don't see how New Orleans wins this game, right? Because you're going up against the best run defense in the NFL. So, you know, if we agree that Alvin Kamara only has, you know, 60 to 75 yards, then Drew Brees better be slinging it. And if he's hobbled from that rib injury, you know, they're going to have some issues.
Boy, he got hit once, and that was it. Let me take everybody back in time. It's almost like Davy Crockett explaining to you what things were like in the forest, okay, when a bear was coming at you. Okay, Drew Brees and Tom Brady wouldn't have – well, no, Tom Brady would have. Drew Brees wouldn't have lasted 4 years in the NFL of the 60s or 70s or 80s because he's little. They also had different rules where they could mangle you, okay, the quarterback. Just mangle them. Johnny Unitas, they mangled the superstars. That's why these guys are older and they're lasting. Drew Brees is a generational quarterback. I give him all the credit in the world. But I still am with you. I think that I look at I think the AFC is the more attractive package, even with Kansas City. Mm-hmm. You got Baltimore. You got big time, exciting Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, intrigue with some of these teams. I think the AFC is a gab fest compared to the NFC, which is a snore fest now, Luke.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, Patrick Mahomes is generational. My opinion, the game of the week is Baltimore Buffalo. I think that is it's going to be such a great football game.
Good.
You know, Josh Allen is just looking amazing. Obviously, they did not step on the Colts' throat last week as they should. They let them back in. So that's concerning from a defensive perspective. So, you know, I would take the over in that game. I think that both Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, that run by Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh called it the best run he's ever seen by a quarterback. I agree. I mean, that was nothing short of amazing, his 48-yard run at the end of the second quarter there to score a touchdown. That's going to be an awesome football game. Josh Allen,
the guy runs
amazing.
Like an animal.
He runs like an antelope. Yeah.
Doesn't he?
He's amazing.
Have you ever seen an antelope run, Luke, on TV or anything?
I have.
He can run. They can fly. Yeah. He was like an antelope. He was just missing the antlers. That's the only thing. The guy was missing. He was fantastic. So let me ask you this before we let you go. Give us the parameters. Tell us how to get and what people got to do at PropSwap. How they get to you and everything else.
Yeah. So we have an app, you know, iOS or Android. If you have an iPhone or Android, download the app. Check out the tickets we have for sale. We are the only app in the country that allows you to bet on futures during the game. So, you know, say you're watching this Buffalo Baltimore game and you like how the Ravens are playing and you think they're going to advance. We're the only way in the country for you to bet on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl during this divisional game, because all the sports books take the odds off while games are being played. So that's why you're trying to encourage people. You know, you're sitting on your couch, it's late second quarter, Baltimore is looking good, check out the app, grab a ticket, because sellers are willing to sell during the game. So that's kind of a fun twist to, you know, in-game betting, quote-unquote. Sometimes we have straight bets up for sale, but most of the time it's more longer-term tickets, you know, who will be Super Bowl MVP, who will be the Super Bowl champion, who will win the AFC, who will win the NFC. So, you know, have it out. Have it out while you're watching the games. And then, obviously, as we continue to grow, if you're making tickets at Rivers or in Indiana, you know, you'll be able to post those tickets on PropSwap. March Madness is always our busiest month of the year, coming up in about, you know, another 2 months now. It's, you know, March Madness was built for PropSwap. You have a team like Loyola Chicago, who was 1,000-to-1 odds to win the Final Four, you know, arrive in the Final Four. I mean, that was just...
Isn't that the best argument for expanding? Look, I'm tired of the same four teams in the playoffs in football. Isn't that the best argument to expand to even 20 teams? Because guess what?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you end up with the same teams, but the most popular part of that whole tournament is when it's the first and second round. It's
totally
really predictable with Duke, Kansas. I mean, the same six teams. So why wouldn't they expand it? It's only good for the brand. It's bad for the brand this way. Don't you agree?
Yeah, completely. I mean, that Monday night game is horrible. It was over in the first quarter. Even the semis were both routes. You know, Notre Dame got their butts kicked, and you know, so did Clemson. Like, that's both of those games were complete routes. So
the
why not for the Cincinnati in?
The average scores have been 23, 25, and 28 the last 3 years for the final. Come on.
Yeah.
Garbage.
It's garbage. You're right that March Madness is the perfect example of why college football should expand the playoff field. I completely agree.
I don't think Cincinnati's going to win it all, but I think Cincinnati could. And how do you not give them a chance? I mean, to me, it's mind-boggling that they limit their money-making abilities. They're the dumbest group of individuals I've ever seen.
Yeah,
the NCAA with the Big Ten. Don't you agree?
Yeah, but NCAA football. Yeah, I think NCAA basketball does it perfectly. You know,
absolutely.
Is incredible. Yeah. But I agree. The college football committee they leave so much money on the table. It was certainly a bad product this year. You know, if they expanded it to 8 or 16, I think that would be such a highly viewed
And somebody
tournament.
Could sneak in. This is why they play the games, and everybody's still doing what we used to do. Oh, I think this team deserves to get in. Just get them in. How hard is it? Look what you did when push came to shove. When we got tired of watching the SEC play each other, I guess it was a low score in one of the games was 6-3. Guess what? Things changed. Well, things got to change again. I don't care if the contract's till 2012. Luke, PropSwap.com is the place to go, buddy. We appreciate you taking time.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Have a good week. Talk to you soon.
I'll talk to you on Friday, my friend. See you later.
Yes, sir. Bye, Mike.
That's Luke Pergandi from PropSwap. Now we bring on our guy, Aldo Gandia, who was just at Lake Forest. He's back. And what is going on as we are live right now? Is the conference going on?
The press conference is going on, and it is what you would expect. George McCaskey and Ted Phillips have announced their confidence in Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy. They're bringing them back. They have not given them contract extensions, but they were impressed with their meetings over the last 2 days where they were thorough. They were they had a plan for improving the team, according to George McCaskey, and that they were candid about their own mistakes. So, in other words,
ooh, Mitchie's coming back. As Stuart Carroll says, Mitchie.
So that's the
Mitchie
latest.
Coming back because they know that's one of the mistakes they had to fess up to. Would you agree?
I absolutely agree. I agree that they had to fess up to their mistakes. Now, the question is whether the Mitchell Trubisky thing is something that you can repair. Does Mitchell really want to come back to this team? Does Mitchell really have faith in Matt Nagy? I mean, Mitchell Trubisky is going to get offers from other teams that are probably he's going to.
But
think
the Bears can match it right now.
The Bears can and exceed it, and they can put a tag on Mitchell and so
I
to force him not to go
anywhere. Happen, man. If you were a betting man, where are you going without next year's your last year? Mm-hmm. You made a mistake. You told McCaskey you made a mistake. Mm-hmm. You brought in Foles. It blew up in your face. There's no more to cover here. In my opinion, who are you going to grab? Mariota? Are you putting your 1 year on the line? Or are you bringing in a guy like Trubisky who you can patch the relationship up? You know this, Aldo.
Sure.
You can patch the relationship up, and there's money in it for the both of you at the end of the line if you're successful. But you got to win his trust back by fessing up, and maybe the ownership already told Mitch, and maybe Nagy and Pace have already told Mitch, yeah, if their plan is not to bring back Mitch, they'll be gone at the end of the year next year. I'll tell everybody that now. Period.
And I got a gut feeling that the only reason they're coming back is because Nagy has 2 years left on his contract. Ryan Pace has another year left on his contract. And not to say that in the past, McCaskey hasn't fired people who still had years left on his contract. But it happens so often that he's probably thinking, you know, Virginia is really going to smack me in the butt if I do it one more time. Let me give these guys one more chance to fix this. And how they're going to fix it, remains to be seen. Now, as of this taping, it's 10:30 Chicago time. Pace and Nagy have not come out to meet the media. It has been only Ted Phillips and George McCaskey. And it really is kind of embarrassing. Not kind of. It really is embarrassing. They're struggling to answer some questions. There have been some tough.
Unbelievable.
There have been some tough questions. Mike, when you see George McCaskey's response to some of these questions, you are going to blow your mind. It is you're going to say, "Wow, this guy, these guys don't get."
Give me a for instance.
When asked, when you're making top level decisions about hiring general managers and stuff, do you do that on your own? And George McCaskey says, "No, I confer with other team owners." It's like these are the guys you're competing against. You're
It's not tragic. It's always a listen. It's humorous. You're right.
Yes.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, it's amazing. Look, I saw you and you were playing. I know.
Mm-hmm.
Prospective former players as GMs.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to just give them one piece of advice. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the general manager. Bring me in to handle the media and consult.
Thank you.
With you guys, please.
Yes.
I know the team's history. I know the players. I know every player that ever played for you. Mm-hmm. I know everything. Please, I could have been one. Well, I'm glad I wasn't, but I could have been one of you. Oh, I'm going to tell you. Well, anyway, I'll just tell you now. Just bring me in. Let me handle the press because they haven't handled the Bears well at all.
We're back
and Nagy and the press conspired against this kid. And then they took the guy that they had nurtured and buried him for a 5-team in 9-year guy. And I understand he had those 7 games. Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
MVP, right?
Correct.
Okay. Kyle Schwarber had 7 games. The Bears didn't give him Cubs didn't give him $100 million. It's the same thing.
That's exactly.
He found 2 guys that got lightning in a bottle, and you're trying to make them bigger than they are.
That's right. You're absolutely, absolutely right. And
the Nationals gave him 1 year.
Yeah.
They didn't do a Foles deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at Jacksonville, $88 million. Football people are as dumb as hell.
Mm-hmm.
Another
good question that was posed was McCaskey, George, you said a year ago that Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy had to prove to you that this year's team was going to be closer to the 12-4 team from 2018 than the 8-8 team from 2019. Did they prove that to you? And George's response was, well, that's a good question. To be honest, no, they didn't. Okay, so you didn't fire
him. Now you're bringing him back?
Exactly. What a shit show.
This is the sadness. And they let, and I heard it all, and whether you, I don't want to hear what Rex Ryan's record was.
Mm-hmm.
Rex Ryan told it right. He never took a bullet for Trubisky.
Mm. Yeah.
He's never done it.
Yep.
And this kid is the class kid. He's a class kid. He's a franchise mover. When I mean another franchise will take him. But he's our cover boy. What are you doing? We got bigger fish to fry on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got a kicker, thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But we could come back like Cleveland did. Do you know that Baker Mayfield made 21 interceptions last year? They were ready to pack his bags and kick him out of town. Then they got him a better line.
Yep.
A better running game,
yep.
Receivers,
yep.
And now he's better. But in I saw on Twitter he had 100 yards when it was 35-7 last week.
Mm-hmm.
We'd kill Mitch if we won 35-7 and he only had 100 yards. It's about winning, folks.
Yes. You make an excellent, excellent point there. Kevin Stefanski is brought in as the head coach. He tailors that offense around Baker Mayfield's strengths. He gets him two excellent running backs. He solidifies the offensive line. He gets him a great possession receiver in Jarvis Landry. He gets other tools. And just like you said, Kevin Stefanski deserves to be the coach of the year. I totally agree with you because he gets it. He gets it, and Matt Nagy doesn't.
And now Mayfield's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though last year he had a horrible year.
Exactly. I thought he was a bust, but he's proven me wrong, and it's because a good coach plays to his strengths. And Matt Nagy.
I cannot believe the game plan they called for Mitch. And how about Wims?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Oh, by the way, they got a guy I know. I'm only the guy pointing him out. He's a Nagy clone named Furry. Mike Furry, the wide receiver coach.
Yeah, yeah.
Look him up.
Yes, I know him. I actually met him once, but that's a different story.
And he looks very dangerous to me, but
yes,
I gotta
yes,
be honest.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I don't want no part of the guy, I gotta be honest. But, seriously. But he's been, his guy show no discipline.
That's great.
None.
That's right. I mean, here's a guy.
You Mike got Wims and you got Miller both getting tossed out of games.
Yeah. Mike Furry.
Almost a year, almost like a season, a one game, 15 games apart. No discipline. That's on the coach.
Yeah, it's absolutely.
And the player.
Absolutely. You're right. Mike Furry posts these videos on social media of him lifting weights and he's cut and he's strong. And at camp,
and
I hear him.
He's a clone. Yeah. Who, by the way, I mean, I remember him with Detroit, but. They're buddies from Arena Football.
Yeah, yeah.
The New Jersey or New York Dragons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He should be on the clock, man. Right. And Wims, I never want to see him again because he changed the whole game.
You're right. And one, I wish I would have pulled.
He changed the thinking of the Bear coaching staff.
He did. You're absolutely right. It's a great point because after that long pass, they stopped calling long passes.
They
never did it again. It's so stupid.
Man, you drop one, go again. He'll catch it.
You know
Give
what?
Give the guy another chance.
You know what, Mike? Maybe, just like George McCaskey talks to other owners about who he should hire, maybe Matt Nagy went over to Sean Payton and asked him, hey, what should I call the rest of the game?
Oh, God. Well, you know, I won that game because I bet $1,200 to win $200.
Oh, nice. Good.
I took the money line.
Good for
now,
you.
Now, Carmen, I said to Carmen right on the show,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking New Orleans money line. He goes, well, it's 600 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you've got to bet 600 to win 100.
Mm-hmm.
I go, who's going to win? And he says, New Orleans. I go, then don't think about that.
Right.
They pretend it's an even bet. It's the easiest bet I ever made in my life.
There you
the
go.
The easiest $200 I ever made. Now, if I lose it, okay.
Right.
I got it, but you could have bet $25 on it.
Yeah.
Or you could bet, if you bet $25 and lose, you would pay $150.
Mm-hmm.
But you more likely than not, because they set it so high, we're going to win the $25.
Yeah.
Which you would have.
Right.
Period. I never thought they were going to beat New Orleans. Never.
Well, I'll tell you, to make a bet like that, you got to have balls of steel.
Cajones.
And balls of steel and a lot of money, and you got both of those.
Well, I'll just say this. I got a game for tonight. Would you like to hear it for everybody?
Because oh.
The only way you can get this game, and you can go on Twitter and say Mike took this, but you better tag Barroom and you better follow us.
That's right. Here's the music, Mike.
Come on now. NBA pick of the night, ladies and gentlemen, 7-0. People say, Mike, just give it out on Twitter. It's a jinx. I go, I don't care. I wouldn't be here without Barlow. Are you kidding me? It's not a jinx. It's just the only way you can get something.
That's right.
You know, I give it out free all the time. I'm not going to do that tonight. You got to at least invest some time. Listen to this great podcast. And ladies and gentlemen, let me just look it up real quick to make sure that the line didn't move or if somebody doesn't have a boo-boo or they're tired, because the NBA guys get tired.
While you do that, Mike, let me tell our listeners that all they got to do is let people know to subscribe to the Bears Barroom Radio Network. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Podbean. You can go over to Spotify and listen to it while you're working and so forth.
I love Spotify.
Yeah, and so it's on all sorts of different platforms, and we do stuff on YouTube. Next week, Mike and I will be on YouTube live video. We'll be talking about the Chicago Bears' entire season. We'll be making fun of George McCaskey, who talks to the other owners about who he should hire.
We're going to be on YouTube. I'm excited.
That is outstanding. So back to you, Mike.
I'm going on my diet Wednesday. Let's see. I went on a diet for 4 days and I broke it already. I collapsed like a lily. Anyway, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Mike, some guy said to me, all you do is bet bad teams. I go, that's the point.
They're moneymakers.
That's it. I don't care. All right. Detroit at home against Milwaukee. If I am scared of a game, it's this one. But Detroit, once in a while, wakes up. But mm-hmm. They're getting 11. Wednesdays, I've come back mm-hmm. in Bears Barroom. I won 5 out of 6. I lost by half point last week. But I'm under 500, so the first couple of years, I was the best on Barroom, and everybody else took a second fiddle. This year, I got to grind a little bit. I like the Detroit Pistons, gulp, plus 11 to cover that game against the really good Milwaukee Bucks. Eldo, back to you.
I like the Detroit Pistons, gulp. I love it.
Yeah. You know what? I've done that every night, but I had the Lakers last 2 nights. You know, there's another deal here. So far, because of lack of home court, mm-hmm. you know, we've discussed whether it's affected things. Well, yeah, the NBA, listen to this. Mm-hmm. 48% of the underdogs, I heard this on VSiN, mm-hmm. 48% of the underdogs mm-hmm. have won, not just covered, won on the road this year. Think about that.
Wow.
Almost half. You didn't even need the points. Mm-hmm. In the old days, that didn't happen with crowds.
Mm. I'm telling you, man, to bet with today's COVID.
Over here,
and you talked about it at the beginning of the show. It is so challenging to bet nowadays because of the COVID and all this stuff. It's a whole new landscape.
Everybody's betting.
Yeah,
they're
that's right.
They're making money hand over fist because people are at home.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
You need us more than ever. You need us more than ever, folks. You need me on that wall. Like I said, I'm serious. Me and Aldo, we're your salvation.
Yep. My stepson comes over, and he's always giving me reports. Yeah, my stepdaughter's boyfriend. He's not my stepson yet. And he's always giving me reports about who he laid a few dollars here. And then he'll ask me, who did Mike have a pick today? Who did he pick?
Tell him he got to jump on the ball.
There you go. Exactly. You got to listen more regularly, Diego.
Yeah. But anyway, but you know what? He's like family, I'm sure. So.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure you can leap it out to him. But I, you know what? I'm due. I keep saying I'm due to lose, but you know what? I haven't. So, hey, I keep going. Oh.
Do you have like a lucky charm or a lucky process or something that you do out of superstition?
Yeah, I scratch my ball sack and then I jump up once on one foot. I have a superstition like that, and then that's it.
Well, I'll tell you what, that does not work for me. I scratch my ball sack and my wife says, get out of bed.
I hop on one foot and he goes, who do you got? She hears it and that's it.
Oh, Mike, it's been another great show. I have to go back and listen to the interview with Luke from Prop Swap because I was monitoring the Bears.
Bears did a great job, yeah. Aldo usually comes back, asks a couple questions, but we had to cover, and a great job covering the Bears.
Thank you.
I won't watch it. I've heard the same speech for 50 years.
Exactly, Mike, don't bother.
I mean, my God, I should be part of it. They should bring me in, just listen to me. I would have saved you money on Weinstein, on Cutler, on... never mind. I got a list too big to even bring up.
Mike, but I am so with you. It's like presidents, CEOs, all the top people have like a press secretary who comes out.
Bring the fans in.
Yes. And you would be a perfect figurehead to come out and say, okay, members of the media, here's my update for the Chicago Bears. And then now let me answer your questions. And then you just let them have it.
I would do that, and I would do it skillfully because I would know who I'm talking to. Let me tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I see somebody, and then we'll get out of here, but every time I see somebody, I don't care who it is that I know in the business. I have, you know, the tattoo that Stu has in Hangover, that Tyson has?
Yes, yes.
When they look at me, I don't care who it is. Mm-hmm. It could be David Haw, it could be Sylvie. They got to decide, as I'm looking at them, if they have a giant F over their F tattoo on their face, that means Foles, before I discuss quarterbacking. and that goes for a lot of our buddies. When they try to tell me how much they know, as I'm looking at them, I just see an F on their forehead. And the same guy sometimes, you get the double daily double. I see a C for Cutler. I see an F for Foles and a C for Cutler, and then I just tune them out.
Yeah, I'm starting to see an M for McCaskey.
Oh,
that was horrible, man.
That tattoo stated.
Yes.
I had that put it in the 90s.
Oh, my goodness.
God.
Mike North, you are the best. I'm telling you, brother.
You are too, my friend. We come and bring it. That's what we do. Bears Spy Room, let everybody know. They ain't getting that damn scintillating pick that I made today unless they come to the bar room. Come on, everybody.
Well done. Excellent job.
Yeah. Good job.